I was moved by one of the verses that we just sang that kind of hit home with me a little bit closer. I don't know if I've got the words exactly right. It's something like, I see the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed. I heard my mocking voice shouting among the scoffers. Does that make sense to you? That the day that Jesus was on the cross, as much as we needed the salvation he was providing, we found ourselves ashamed that we were hollering with those that were scoffing at him. I realize that the rest of you are holy, and I'm the only one that's messed up. But I wonder if you ever live your life and find yourself having to put your hand over your mouth and say, what in the world did I just say? Or what did I just think? What did I let in my heart? And we are among those scoffers many times. I'm ashamed of that myself. Well, today we're going to talk about, can I be honest with you? I mean, a lot of times I think people want the pastor just to stand up and pontificate some great thing. And I'm not that kind of a person. Most people know that they can look at my face and tell what I'm thinking. I can't hide it. It's just there. And I'm in one of those moods today, no telling what we're going to end up with, okay? So, but I want to talk very seriously to you and as openly as I can about the burden of my heart. And that is that while Christians around the nation gather on Sundays in their churches, the vast majority of us do not often, if ever, share the gospel with anyone. We are not broken or hurt or bothered by someone really going to eternity to be with away from the Lord. And even if we do care about lost people, it doesn't move us to find someone that we know that's in our life that we could maybe touch. You might be the only person who's going to have an open door and an avenue to reach someone that the rest of us either do not know, don't know very well, have no connection with, or will not find a way to reach them. It is so imperative that Christians realize the rest of the world needs to know Christ, and the rest of the world is like right outside these doors. When we think about 7 out of 10 in our own community who give no evidence that they have been changed by Christ or that they know him at all. I'm just wondering if you are like me, that I'm tired of us not doing anything about it, and I am wondering if we really are burdened to the point that we care that there are lost people that are going to be going to hell. So I don't want to be Mr. Downer, but I want us to consider what our role is, because I need you as much as you might need me. I need you. We have to support each other in knowing that there are people who are most likely one day going to die without Christ. It was Sunday school teachers and my parents who shared Christ with me. It was, as I was growing up, it was friends who came alongside of me, encouraged me in my walk with the Lord. I'm wondering if you know anybody that needs to know Christ and you are burdened for them. I asked you last week to join me as we thinking about the faith outline, to get one of the cards that we have out in the foyer on the tables there and at least write one name down of somebody you'll pray for each day. This is my neighbor. His first name is John, and I'm praying for him that somehow I might be able to share Christ with him or that he would trust Christ. And I believe that it's possible that if we pray, God can work out miraculous ways for people to hear the gospel and respond to it. Do you think so? I want you to not only write their name down and pray for them, but maybe consider inviting them to join you in church, where they can hear the gospel. So last week we talked about, if you would ask someone this simple question, in your personal opinion, what does it take for a person to go to heaven? You're going to get all different kinds of answers. Some people will say, well, I don't think we go to heaven when we die. We just we just disappear and we, you know, dissipate, we go off into space. Well, they might believe that. Some people would say, well, what it takes to go to heaven is you just try to do the best you can because it's hard living on this earth. And so we just try to do the best we can, and in the end, we hope God will see that we did well enough and he'll let us into heaven. Others will say, well, I think you have to energetically work for it. You've got to do good things and try to live up to some great standard and hope in the end that you've done enough, that you've got enough points on your side, better, more good than bad, and maybe God will let you in. People give all sorts of answers, but every other world religion other than Christianity centers on this one truth. Their faith depends upon them working themselves to be good enough for God to allow them into some eternity. Every other world religion believes that. Christianity is the only one that says all we must do is trust that what God did through Christ on the cross is enough. Do you understand how unfathomable that is to every other civilization in the world? And when our missionaries are able to share, or when you find someone who believes that they must work themselves to heaven and you are able to share, no, it is what God has done that allows us to go to heaven, not what you can do that allows you to go to heaven. That is an amazing truth. So last week I shared with you that I'm trying to teach you just one way that you might be able to share the gospel with someone. So if somebody says, I think that you have to work your way to heaven, you could ask them just simply, would you allow me to share with you how the Bible answers that question? And it is a simple word. It is F-A-I-T-H. Okay, so the F-A that's on the wall behind me on both sides is not just part of the Do-Re-Mi song, okay? That's not what that is today. It is that F is for forgiveness. And there are some basic truths that are assigned to that. And that is that all of us have sinned, and so we need God's forgiveness. And that forgiveness is only available in Jesus. If those two principles are true, and we could say to someone, I want to let the Bible answer that question for us, we just say F is for forgiveness. We cannot have heaven and eternal life without God's forgiveness. We've all sinned. We need God's forgiveness. And forgiveness is only in Jesus. But then there's a second thing that we must try to understand, and that is that when we ask a person about responding to the gospel, many people do respond to the gospel rather eagerly. Several years ago, when I was in my church in Waterloo, Illinois, and we were out on visitation, we went in teams of three, and we knocked on a door, and it was cold, and it was in the late fall or winter time, and we stood on the front porch, and a man came to the door, and this is not always the way it happens. This will sound rather sensational, but I just want to tell you how it can happen. A man came to the door, and we asked him a few simple questions and said, may we answer for you how the Bible answers this question? He said, yes. And when we went through the faith outline and he prayed at the end to receive Christ, he told us, and like I said, this will sound sensational, but you never know what you're facing. He said to us, I was in my bedroom sitting on the bed praying that God would send me an answer because my life was at an end and I was about to end it. So think for a moment that there are neighbors and there are friends and there are people that you run into every week in your normal course of business during the day that need to hear about Christ. And if we as Christians would just occasionally say something good about Jesus, bring him up in the conversation, we might be amazed at how many people are out there that need to know Christ and want to receive Christ. Hey, I have a aha moment for you. Every one of you were one of them one day. Right? You were one of those people who need somebody to tell you about Christ. And they are still out there. So, while some respond easily, others are not quite so sure they can be saved. So today I want to talk to you about this question. Who can be saved? Who is it that really can be saved? Is it just white folks? Is it just Americans? Is it just rich people? Is it just religious people? Is it just good people? Is it just people in the South? Is it just people who came from a good family? Who can be saved? And so, if F is for forgiveness, then what does the A stand for? A is for available. God's forgiveness is available for all. So if you're writing in your outline there, I want to make sure that you get this. The A is for available. God's forgiveness is available for all. Now, how do I know that? John 3:16, in the translation most of you might be familiar with, the New International Version, says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." In the Holman Christian, it really makes the language clearer to what the Greek says, and it says, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." So I heard some of you say the answer. I tricked you on what the A is. A is for available, but who can be saved? All people can be saved. So the verse highlights for us that God's forgiveness is for all people, and it is personal. It's those two major things we learn in John 3:16. God's forgiveness is available for all persons, and it is something that is personal. If you've ever done a backyard Bible club, or you were in vacation Bible school, or maybe even in your Sunday school classes occasionally, the lessons will tell you, put your name in the verse. So you could say, "For God so loved Kevin that he gave his only Son." That's because we know God's forgiveness, his salvation, is something personal. God just doesn't say, "Okay, I'm going to save America." That's not how that works. If we're going to see change happen in our country, and by golly, this year we've learned we need some, right? If we're going to see change, God will do that in the hearts of one person at a time. He's not just going to say, "Okay, I'm going to wave my magic wand and change America." He's going to change individuals. It is very personal. And you and I, and like I said, I understand sometimes I'm the slowest one to get this. Unless you and I understand and believe that God's love is available for each person, for every person, for all people, we will miss the full impact of God's forgiveness. If we ever get it so that it is so personal that we think God only wants to forgive me, then we have lost the full impact of God's offer of salvation. God so loved the world and every individual in it that he sent his Son to die on the cross, so that if any one of those or every one of those will believe, they will not perish but have eternal life. He died for me, but he didn't just die for me. Are you with me? You haven't convinced me yet. It's okay. But forgiveness is a gift, and gifts are always personal. I got to my Father's Day gift this past week, and I rightly deserved it. Okay. It was a storybook. I love Peanuts characters, you know, Snoopy and all that. I have those in my office and everything too, Charlie Brown. So my oldest daughter, Stephanie, gave me a book of stories associated with major holidays of the year that I could read to my grandsons, okay? So I got my Father's Day gift. And what makes it important to me is that that means that they were thinking about what I like. I like Charlie Brown. I often feel like Charlie Brown, okay? So it's a personal gift. And so think about it. When God gives us the gift of salvation and forgiveness, he is thinking about that one thing that every individual needs most of all. A lot of times we think, well, we need people's love and we need people's respect, and those may be true in our human relationships, but when God thinks about us, he thinks about the very best gift that you need. And if you're going to have a great life, a full, abundant life, eternal life, the greatest gift you need is the one that God provided in Jesus Christ, and that is forgiveness of sin. Now, it means that because God forgives us, he wants to establish a relationship with us. You see, because if we can have a close relationship with God, we can get to know him and he can pour himself into us. But I can't have a relationship with God if there's a sin barrier between me and him. I think I've told you the story in the past about when I bought, when I was 10 years old, I got a brand new bicycle, a Schwinn bicycle. It was red and white and silver. And it was like a 3-speed, I think, you know, zooming. kind of thing. And I had a birthday party, and my friends came over, and we all celebrated, and everybody said great things, you know, happy birthday and stuff. Well, that night, while I was in bed, Donnie and Terry, my two neighbors from the backyard, came over and used a hammer, broke all the spokes out of my bike, and tore my handlebars up, and ripped up the seat and everything. And so, needless to say, we had a break in our relationship. So much so that it resulted in me going over to Donnie's yard, finding both Terry and Donnie swinging on the swing set. I grabbed their Cardinal baseball caps. We used to have a big 55-gallon drum in the backyard where, you know, you burn stuff. And I threw their baseball caps in the fiery furnace there. That started a really good relationship that was demonstrated in punches and rolling and fighting and all that kind of stuff. And I had Donnie dead to rights. Terry ran off, so I picked up a brick and I threw it and hit him in the back of the head. Busted his head open. We were really great friends by then. So I've told this story to numbers of children because I want them to understand what a break in relationship is. And so I asked them the question, if we're going to have friendship again, what's going to have to happen between me, Terry, and Donnie? They're going to have, the kids always say, well, you're going to have to say you're sorry. And I said, will Donnie and Terry have to say that? Oh, yeah, they'll have to say it too. And I said, what else will they have to do? And they scratch their head and they finally say, they might have to fix your bicycle. And that's true. And I might have to take them candy and gifts and stuff while they're recuperating from their brick throwing at home. Whenever we have a break in relationships, something has to happen. Some initiative must be taken to mend the fences, right? And if we have sinned and we have broken a relationship with God, somebody's got to make the first move. Now, whatever we do is not going to appease God. We know that. So God in his wisdom and his love and his grace decided to make the first step. He wrapped himself in humanity, came to live on earth among us and show us, I love you despite the fact that you have broken our relationship. I am reaching out to you, not waiting for you to reach out to me. I am doing everything. I am taking the whole 100% walk to bring us together. And that is what God does in Jesus Christ. He removes the barriers so that we can have a relationship with him. And I have to be reminded, there is not one person who cannot accept Jesus and receive his forgiveness. There is not one person on the face of the earth that if they would receive what God offers, cannot accept Jesus and receive forgiveness. Muhammad Gandahari was a friend of mine in college. He came to Southwest Baptist University from Iran. He spoke Farsi. He did not know anything about Jesus. He got involved somehow in our Baptist Student Union group. And I was assigned, my leadership role in that group was to reach international students. So Muhammad became my friend. And I took him with me on my weekends to my church. And during that time, I was staying every weekend 70 miles away from college campus with a missionary family from New Tribes. And they had three boys. And the three boys would say to each other, you're a hot dog, or, you know, you're a weirdo, things like that, teasing back and forth. And so Muhammad began to ask me on my way home sometimes at the end of the weekend. We were driving back to campus. He says, what does it mean to be a turkey? You're a turkey, you know. Or how can I be a hot dog? He didn't understand that. And he would holler out across campus when he would see me, you're a hot dog. So I don't know. I was able to write, and International Bible Society sent me a Bible that was in the Farsi language. Sat down with Muhammad a few times and shared the gospel with him. And amazingly, this young man from Iran, who was very much involved in the Islamic faith, when he heard that Jesus loved him and was willing to reach out to him, he trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. People will do that if we will share the gospel with them. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you need Jesus. Whether you're a good person or a bad person, you need Jesus. Whether you have white skin or black skin or red skin or brown skin or yellow skin or purple skin or green skin, you need Jesus. So forgiveness is available for all persons. It's available for that lady that I met at a local restaurant whose daughter had a baby out of wedlock. And Joyce and I heard about it and took a gift to them for that baby. Even though that was not God's plan and that's not the best way things are supposed to happen. And the waitress has been able to listen to us and embrace us and become a friend. Has not trusted Christ yet, as far as I know, but we are trying to build a bridge because forgiveness is available for all persons. But here's the reality of the other side of that coin, and that is the next thing you need to write on your outline, and that is God's forgiveness is not automatic. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." But in verse 21, it also says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Forgiveness is available to all people, but it is not automatic. I said to you last week, you don't get it just because of grandma's graces. Just because grandma was a good follower of Jesus and trusted in the Lord and prayed does not mean that it transfers automatically to you through the genes, through the blood. It is not automatic. A person has got to trust Christ and receive the gift that is personal for themselves. Now, God wants all people to accept his forgiveness. We hear, you know, some Bible scholars, maybe smarter than me, more positions than I have, tell us that God just selects certain ones he wants to be saved. I don't believe that. I believe God does have some ordaining elements for us once we are saved, but everything I read, if you read the whole Bible together, God pleads that everyone might receive his gift of salvation. And it's our responsibility then to share it and have some urgency about it. My neighbor needs Jesus. Now, the two neighbors across the street may be okay because they're both pastors. I have my doubts sometimes. But my neighbor I know needs Jesus. But I want to tell you some things about why we should have some urgency. Number one, not all people will be saved. Ta-da, right? But here's the reality of that. Even though we know not everybody will be saved, the truth is that if we will share the gospel, there are many who will be saved. The Bible tells me that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not everybody will, but many will. And so we need to have an urgency to share with all that we can, because we don't know which ones will accept it and which ones won't. Is that right? A second reason why we need to have some urgency is because many will perish who expect to be saved. Every politician who stands up and gives a speech and at the end says, God bless America, does not know God, does not know how he blesses, and does not really love America. Now, some of them do. But many of them think just because they use some fancy language like that, or that they are a good person, or they go to church occasionally, many people will settle for being good or being religious, but not being connected or committed. I could not live my life just trying to be good or being religious. It gets tiresome sometimes trying to be good. Tommy Burris. Right, my friend? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to always be religious. You'd have to really work at it. And so I'm so glad that God began a relationship with me and I get to be connected to him through my commitment. Isn't that amazing? God makes up the difference for me. And I'm not trying to make excuses. It's just I know it's a lot easier to trust in what Christ has done than for me to try to work it up all the time. Sometimes I just don't feel like being good. Am I the only one honest in here? And I have to make myself do it and ask God for his help. So many will perish because they expect to be saved because they're being good or they're being religious or they go to church. And they have never been connected to God in a relationship of commitment. If you are in this room today and you are here faithfully and you have never committed your life to Christ, do not think that just because you are present in a room full of other good people that somehow God is going to make a special rule for you. He needs you to commit your life to Him for Him to save you. The third thing that I think is an urgency is that there is no salvation after death. Now, I understand for many people this is a theological discussion. I have no problem with this. The scripture says that today is the day of salvation. Once we are dead, we don't have a chance to receive Christ. But you must understand that salvation is not automatic. You must believe in and commit your life to Jesus, and so there is an urgency. Many times when I've been in the hospital and a person has been facing a very terminal illness, or we think that they are near passing, the urgency spirit is in the room, and they will let me ask them pretty pointed questions. Many times I will ask them, what you're facing is pretty serious. Are you ready to go into eternity? And in those times when they realize life is really on the edge, they see the urgency that they need to know Christ. We have got to feel that urgency. That our nation, which by the way is not mentioned in end times prophecies, what's going to happen to the America that we know? Is it because Christians forsake their responsibility to have an urgency to share the gospel? Number four, there is no other way to be saved except Jesus. So it's taken decades maybe, but it's finally settled on my heart, this one truth. I cannot hate people who do not know Christ. I cannot hate people who live a different lifestyle. I cannot hate people who claim some other world religion. I must feel sorry for them. They are victims. Because there is no other way for them to be saved except Jesus. And if I don't tell them about Jesus and nobody else tells them about Jesus, they haven't had a chance. So my love compels me to share. If I loved Mohammed Gandhari, my friend from Iran, love compelled me to share the gospel with him. If I loved the young teenage boy in my last church up north that nobody really cared about, I would witness to Gary because Gary needed Jesus. The strange young man that came to our church there that others thought was an oddball, whose name was Kevin as well. Nobody wanted to share the gospel with Kevin because he was too rough and too weird and too strange and too hard to relate to. And the day that I sat with him on his patio after surgery, on the deck of his house, and talked to him about his salvation. His language was bad, and he was in the midst of stuff that I probably wouldn't think was good, but I kept trying to reach out to him, and one Sunday morning he walked down the aisle and said, I need to accept Christ. Love compels us to share Christ, not just with good folks, because some of them are hard to reach anyway, but some of the dirty, stinkingest, rotten sinners you know need Jesus, and they will take Jesus. Because Christianity is inclusive. Because God's salvation and forgiveness is offered to all. There is no one on the face of the earth, as long as they're still breathing, that cannot accept Jesus. He will take anybody. But Christianity is also exclusive, and that's where we get ourselves into trouble with the world. And that is that salvation and forgiveness is only in Jesus. It's inclusive. Everybody may come, but it's exclusive. You must come through Christ. God made forgiveness available at a great cost through the death of His Son. Not everybody will choose that gift, but many will. So my question to you, good people that love Jesus, are grateful to be saved, would you think about these questions? Are you willing to overcome the limitations that you place on God? Now think about it. Do you ever say, those people are going to be hard to be saved? You're putting a limit on God's forgiveness and his love? Are you willing to overcome the biases that you have against certain people so that you aren't willing to try to reach everyone with the gospel? I have to tell you, there are people who are harder for me to try to reach than others. And God is changing my heart about special lifestyle group in our country. But I have tried to ask the Lord to help me to understand that everyone needs salvation. And Lord, help me to get past my biases so that I am not afraid to seek to share at least the goodness of Christ and eventually the gospel with people who need to hear it. And finally, do you need to pray that a particular person would accept God's offer of forgiveness? Maybe you've given up on them. Years ago, I have a brother-in-law who is very hard to get along with. I'm sure you have great in-laws, but my brother-in-law is difficult at times. And years ago, he was so difficult that I finally said, I'm not praying for you anymore. I don't care what happens to you. I don't care if you ever get saved. I'm not praying for you. That was not a good thing, by the way, Harold, but I'm hanging out honest here today. We had a community revival at the junior high school in our town. And at the end of the preaching, all the pastors came forward and I came out front and receiving people from my church. And my sister-in-law came up and accepted Christ. And instantly God convicted me. Don't shut the door to anybody. And eventually, my brother-in-law, who claims to know Christ, started being nicer. He's almost livable. Last time I saw him, I took he and his wife out for their anniversary dinner. God gave me the grace to do that. Nobody is beyond Christ. If we will not be like me, but keep praying, keep trying to reach. Okay, so a man dies, he goes to heaven. Peter meets him at the gates, and he says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. So you tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you points based upon each item, depending on how good it was. And when you reach 100 points, I'll let you into heaven. So the man thinks for a moment. He says, okay, I was married to the same woman for 50 years, and I never cheated on her, even in my heart. Peter says, well, that's wonderful. That's worth 1 point. 1 point, the man blurts out. All right, well, I attended church all my life, and I supported its ministry with my tithes and my service. Peter says, that is terrific. That's certainly worth 1 point. Only 2 points total, the man moans. Okay, so I started a soup kitchen in my city, and I worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic, Peter says. That's good for 1 more point. 3 points, the man cries, exasperated. At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. And Peter says, exactly. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. F is for forgiveness. You cannot have heaven and eternal life without God's forgiveness. A is for available, because God's forgiveness is available to all, but it is not automatic. Each person must receive for themselves the grace of God that he offers in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I can confess sin for no one but myself. And as long as I have tried to serve you and been faithful, I continue to plead with you that you would help me to have more of a heart that longs to see others come to Christ. And Lord, when I think about our church, we are good at so many things and great at many things and share a fellowship that is strong. But Lord, perhaps our sin, our weakness is that we fail to take seriously our responsibility to work at it, to grow in it, to plead that we might be better at sharing the gospel with people whose lives we touch. Lord, don't let us off the hook, but don't pile us under an immense guilt either. Help us to be set free by taking the honest responsibility that there are some people who will not hear about Christ and have a chance to respond in faith unless we are the ones who take the responsibility. Help us, O God, in Jesus' name.